Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, it seems like a simple text on the face of it, right? A simple parable told by Jesus to make a simple point. And we have to be careful because our moralistic tendencies know exactly what to do with this text. We know the moral of the story. Two men both go to the temple, both offer up words to God, and we know the bad guy and we know the good guy, right? I mean, the villain is obviously the Pharisee, the self-righteous one who thinks he's so great, the one who doesn't hesitate to list all the great things he does, and then he has the gall to give thanks to God, sort of lip service, really, using these things to establish his own righteousness. And it's almost like he's not even talking to God, but rather to everyone who might be within earshot. And the hero in the story, well, he's the humble, lowly tax collector, the one who recognizes his condition, the one who pleads for God, with God for mercy, the one who gives us the example to follow. And so the moral of the parable is pretty simple, isn't it? Like the tax collector and not like the Pharisee. Oh God, I thank you. I'm not like that Pharisee. You see the irony of that reading of the text. How easily the same prayer leaves our lips that makes the Pharisee the bad guy in the story. So that what makes the Pharisee the bad guy is actually exposed in us as well. So perhaps this parable is little more than a simple teaching on how we are to behave. Maybe Jesus is actually doing something to us with this parable, something that is not really what our sinful flesh wants. So let's consider it within its original context. You know, we often want to think of Pharisees as guys wearing black capes, top hats, twisting their mustaches maniacally as they tie their victims to the railroad tracks. We think everyone knew who they were, that they were the villains that should be avoided at all costs. Well, this actually is not true. I mean, the Pharisees were actually the good guys. They were the righteous and upstanding ones, the ones who, by all appearances, were keeping the law. I mean, they were probably the ones you wanted your kids to hang out with. They were the ones that you would probably like to have as your own friends, the ones that you would probably enjoy having over for dinner. They were probably kind of like the ubiquitous Grandma Schmidt in the congregation. Not a mean bone in her body, always in the church, always helping where help was needed, giving of her time and energy and resources, and all around upstanding, good, loving, and wonderful woman that no one would dare to call self-righteous. But tax collectors? Well, that's another story. I mean, they were the bad guys, liars, thieves. They worked for nothing but self-interest, charging as much interest as they liked, with the threat of civil punishment on their side. Certainly only people without a conscience could associate with the likes of them. And yet it's precisely the likes of them that we want to associate with in this parable, isn't it? You see, the more that you delve into this parable, the more that it has this way of just trapping you. No matter what angle you try to take, you just can't get around it. It accuses you time and again. I mean, you certainly don't want to side with the Pharisee, the self-righteous one who's obviously pompous. But then you realize that in your attempts to distance yourself from him, you're doing the very thing that he is, standing far off, thanking God that you're not like him. But then you try to identify with the tax collector. Well, then you're faced with your sin. I mean, you'd love to claim his humility and his lowliness as your own, but you certainly don't want to claim his problems. And so it would seem that we're stuck, that we've been encountered with something far more than a nice moralistic teaching about how to pray and be humble. No, this is, once again, Christ teaching us about righteousness. Righteousness that we don't have on our own. Because the reality is that you and I really are the Pharisee. In our fallen and sinful condition, I mean, we always are trying to cling to something, anything, even the smallest thing, to prove to God that we're pretty important folks, that he should be impressed, that others could have a thing or two to learn from us, and our sin runs so deep that we will even use our humility, our lowliness, to justify ourselves before God. I mean, even if Jesus were simply teaching us to be like this humble tax collector, we try and we fail and we use that humility to try to get brownie points with God. And this reflecting upon our sinful condition, it should really terrify us, especially when it comes to this sin of trying to establish our own right standing before God, for that's nothing other than saying, Christ, thanks a lot, but you really went to the cross for nothing. I can do this all on my own. But remember, the great physician comes not for those who are well, but for those who are sick. And so what mercy of Christ to come to people like us with this parable, people who think that we're pretty healthy, and yet Christ comes to show us our fatal disease so that he can mend it. And that, you see, is the answer to our condition. The answer to the depth of your sin and your self-righteousness does not rest with you and your attempts to be more humble or more selfless or more of anything. It would be a dangerous, dangerous disservice to you if I preached this parable as nothing more than behavior modification. Stop being like that Pharisee and be more like that tax collector, which would be to simply preach you into pride or to despair. No, rather, the promise for you as you encounter this parable that traps you, the promise is that Christ lives and dies and rises, well, for Pharisees and for tax collectors, for sinners, for you. Your Lord bids you repent and hear this glorious promise that your sin, all of your sin, all of it, including your sin of self-righteousness and your sin of trying to establish your right standing before God because of your works, all of that sin has been nailed to the cross in the flesh of Christ. And it's because of his death and resurrection alone that your sin is made his, and his righteousness is made yours, so that your daily prayer, well, it's the same as the tax collectors, even as you contend with the sin of the Pharisee. You plead for the Lord's mercy, not so that you can look to your act of pleading as somehow good in God's eyes, but rather you plead for mercy because you need it, because God promises to give it. And today, he is faithful to that promise. Today, he once again pours out his mercy for sinners like us through the gifts of Christ. And the result is that today you leave this place, not with the burden of your sin, but with the promise that it's gone. You're justified. You are righteous. Christ has said so, and so it is true. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.